I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 333.
That's our lucky number.
And on your birthday week.
I know.
If you don't know, where the hell have you been? Donna's birthday is in 3 days of this coming out.
I mean, even if you just like picked a random episode to start with, you should know my birthday. I mean, I mention it all the time.
Story happens in August. Oh, my birthday month.
Story happens in September. Oh my God, it was after my birthday month.
Yes. So next week, you'll get to hear about Did We Die at the little safari thing she's got us going to.
I'm so excited.
Okay, Jesse Spano. Are you also scared?
I mean, kind of. But I was setting it up and the person I was texting with was like, you know, like, you're going to have a lot of fun, because I had said it was for a birthday. And I was like, also, I'm 39. I didn't want them to like have like
think it was like a kid's birthday. Yeah.
And they were like, oh, no, you'll still have a lot of fun. And I was like, oh, I mean, I know. I know.
We're going to be so freaking hot.
But it's only outside for a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Well, speaking of hot, I have been hot for fucking, and I am over it. Colby is dead set that I'm going through menopause because I was dripping with sweat last night. Like, I could not cool off. When I went to bed, I put the one leg out because I had to cover up just for comfort because I had to get my position. But I had one leg out because I was like dying. And when I woke up, my hair was wet. My moo-moo was wet. My CPAP wouldn't even seal because I was sweating so bad.
Oh, like, my
gosh. It was
slipping
and sliding all over my face.
Was it a time that you're cleaning your other sheets?
No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I think I really might be going through menopause already.
Wow. You old fart?
No, Colby was perfectly fine.
Sheesh. So you went, Donna, when I get hot, and you bought an air conditioner?
No, we had it because Colby has had a premonition. No, I'm just kidding. He really thinks that this is going to be like a terrible hurricane season for us. So we got a generator and a window unit just in case. Because we got to have a generator for our CPAPs, like, yeah, like on the real. But we didn't get like this huge, like, you know, what is it, like a Generac that like turns on when you're,
yeah,
air? No, it ain't that fancy and it's on the Lowe's card. But this little window unit is way smaller than I thought it was. But as soon as we got home from work today, we put that up in the kitchen. This is the first house in my life I've ever had a gas stove and oven. And that shit gets so hot.
It does.
Like, I've never, like, I had no idea. Like, it is so freaking hot. And the kitchen has a ceiling fan in it, which, by the by, is a terrible ceiling fan. But, like, it on high, it looks like it's on medium at, yeah, best. But when you're making something on the stove, you can't have the ceiling fan on because it's like, that's what the light,
oh,
sounds,
yeah,
like the flame.
Yeah.
Because it's gas and it's like blowing it. So we put the window unit in the kitchen. And I did cook in the oven tonight. And while I did have on the ceiling fan, and my cobalt fan, and the window unit.
Oh my God.
I was not a puddle of sweat.
I am so glad I was not here for all of that.
Well, you really better be thanking me, because in my design of where we're going to put this window unit, because our kitchen is connected to our den, because we've got like an old ranch style house. So like you have the front living room that's got separated by a wall into a den, and the den is connected to the kitchen. But there's like no windows in the den. It just has like a door to the backyard, and then like
you were going to put it by the dining room table?
Yeah, there's like a little nook for the dining room table. Colby was going to put it in the dining room part, which is not really a dining room part. It's literally like a cutout. That's not the right word, but like a little thing, you know? Yeah, he was going to put it right there. I was like, Donna's not going to be able to survive.
There's no way. That's where I sit.
Well, my comfort when I'm cooking is far more important than your comfort.
Well, yeah, but it wouldn't have helped you. It wouldn't have helped you in there.
I said you better be thanking me. I got it in the kitchen.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Even though, like, I sit there and the fan from the den makes me cold.
Put clothes on.
I usually do have them on.
Put more on.
I know.
Am I going through the change?
I don't know.
I mean, like, today, this afternoon, I was like, y'all, is it hot in here all of a sudden? They were like, no. And to one of my coworkers who always wears a jacket, I'm like, well, you don't have your sleeves on, so it's got to be hot right now. Because I'm like actively sweating.
Yeah. And you don't feel like lightheaded or anything?
No.
Okay. I was just thinking high blood pressure.
No, I really probably has something to do with like the 118 heat index outside right now. Right. But
whew. I do hate being hot though. Mm. Like once I am sweaty, I don't want to eat. I don't want you to talk to me. I don't want you to touch me. I just want to cool off. Speaking of that, me and my brother have been going to the gym. And
how often have you gone?
I've been like 5 times.
What? I just randomly heard you like in passing say it the other day when we were at dinner. I thought it was just one time. What the fuck? You would be so pissed at me if I hadn't told you this.
Well, I called you when he was with me one time.
Yeah, but you told me that his car messed up. I thought you were going to pick him up for the car.
I learned that on the way to the gym.
This bitch.
Well, we've been just doing like the 30-minute circuit thing, but we don't do the step part. We just do the, what do you call it? The equipment.
Yeah.
And he was like, start off easy so you don't overwhelm yourself. You know, you don't hurt yourself because you know that's us. And I was like, okay, they have the hugest fan in that. And it's like a little nook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I am so fucking cold in there. And I was like, oh my God, this is not normal. I don't sweat at all, right? Well, I've been to the gym twice by myself.
What the fuck, Donna?
I know.
Why didn't you tell me?
Why? Well, because I didn't know I was going to go. And then I was like, I'm going to go. Like, I've got to do this. I want to do this. What?
Why haven't you told me?
Because I don't know.
Continue. Y'all, I'm really bothered by this, y'all.
Why?
Because I want to know.
Okay, well, now you know.
Everybody else.
Well, I did mention it to Tiffany because he, because she has a membership to that gym and I'm his guest. And so I was like,
so how'd you go by yourself?
He can unlock it and I can get in there. Like, yeah, that's the whole thing now, like apparently. But I was like, hey, if you want to go, he's not going. But if not, like, I'm going to go. It was at like 3 on a day that I had gotten off early. I was like, so whatever. And she didn't want to go. And so I was like, okay. And I was like, fucking go, Donna. Just do it. And I did it. But I've started
proud doing, of you, by the way.
Thank you. Started doing heavier weights though. And last night I went by myself and I was sweaty Betty up in there. I was like, that fan ain't got nothing on the heavier weights. Like it just wasn't like working me out enough to do it. Cause I was doing like 15 and now I'm like doing like 30 and 45 on certain things. But I don't know the name of any of those, but you know the machine that you put your, like you sit in and you do your, this part?
Mm-hmm.
That's on like 10 because that shit, my body don't like that.
Yeah.
I
she's,
do.
She's talking about like the leg extension.
Yeah. Machine. Yeah. No. No. And I will say one other thing that.
That you held this secret from me. That was the thing you were going to say. You held this secret that you've been going to the gym and you didn't tell me and you went twice by yourself. I would have fucking celebrated that with you.
Well, you can celebrate now.
No, I'm mad at you now. I don't want to celebrate you. I mean, congrats, but fuck off.
So when me and another friend of mine went to the gym like forever ago, we did the circuit there and we actually did like the steps and all of that. But there was this one machine that I didn't want to do. Like I tried to do it one time and I just couldn't fit on there and all of that. And it was the leg press. But like just my belly just would not let me do it. But I can do it.
Good.
And so I was like, oh my God, the fact that I can even just like fit on it and like get my leg there and stuff, huge.
Well, Donna's going to the gym by herself and I signed up for a pickleball class.
I'm so excited to hear about this.
I may die. If the safari doesn't kill, well, actually, pickleball's the night before the safari. So if I make it through next weekend, so if y'all hear an episode come out on August the 12th, y'all know I survived. Actually, no, because we'll have recorded it before then.
Yep.
It's going to be so hot, but I am excited. I wonder if I have to buy a racket.
Not the first time.
Not for the class, surely,
no,
huh?
No. But I'm so excited.
I feel like if my mom can do it, I can do it. Although she's been working out like 3 days a week. At the Y, so she probably...
I didn't know your mom played pickleball.
She just played it a couple of times with my sisters and nephews.
Oh, fun. Yeah, a lot of the people at work play pickleball and stuff.
It's so huge right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, okay, let's try it. Because they said they did a work chat today. Well, like a text. And they're like, we're going to start like a pickleball team kind of thing. Not really. Like, just like, hey, let's go play after work kind of thing. Could I say thing one more time? And so I was like, oh shit, am I going to die at that? And then two of my coworkers were going to do this class. And I was like, well, I'd love to do this class with them. So if I really struggle, I'll be with them and not with everybody, you know? Yeah.
Well, you played tennis.
Yeah, that was a lot of pounds ago.
But you know what I mean? And so like, you're just moving up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that
not
was
the full court.
That literally was a lot of pounds ago. So we'll find out.
Speaking of lots of pounds ago, one of my coworkers, she's a personal pan pizza. Mm-hmm. And we were on Zoom and she had her knees up to her chest. And I said, and that motherfucker over there just like sitting there with her knees up to her chest. And I was like, if I did that, I would press out a turd.
I wouldn't even be able to do it, to do
no,
that.
No, I mean, I couldn't do it. Yeah. But like me straining myself to do that.
Who says press out a turd?
I don't know who says that. My words are not coming out right, okay?
If this is someone's first episode to listen, they're like, the fuck?
But God, like she just looks so comfortable.
Yes.
And I'm like, I just want to be able to do that.
Hell, Cream Mom sent us a picture of her crossing her legs in the car. I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Right? It's the little things.
For real. And that's what this is about. Like, we're extra large pizzas. We always going to be extra large pizzas.
Definitely.
We're just trying to be not so doughy.
Right? Yes.
We want to be crispier.
Tougher? I mean, I want to fit in a smaller box, you know? Oh, also, I do want to say thank y'all so much because after I said that I might be doing it on Instagram, like doing more just like documenting it and stuff, people have followed me and I just thank y'all so freaking much. Like, y'all made me want to cry because I was just like, y'all believe in me and like y'all want to join me on it and like not judge me for trying to do this or whatever because we are body positive. But this is also like health positive. And like I said, it's just for my anxiety of the stuff I want to do, I need this. And, you know, like, you know, I have chronic everything wrong with me. So I also really want that hysterectomy and I've got to still lose the weight for that. So it's like all of this is lining up. And right now it just feels different. Mm-hmm. And it feels like I can do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I have been obsessed with the Olympics, like, obsessed. And kind of on that vein of what you were just saying, Alana Maher, I don't know if that's how you say her whole name, but I am obsessed with her. She is on the U.S. rugby team. And I have watched her TikToks like since essentially the last Olympics. Mm. And she has blown up this Olympics. But she is so body positive. And she's so like, look, there are so many different body types at the Olympics and they're all here. They're all athletes and it's okay to be in different bodies. And then, you know, of course, everybody, you got the trolls commenting on stuff. And so I was like, I bet her BMI is 30. And she clapped back and she made a video like responding to that comment. And she was like, yeah, my BMI is 30. Yeah, I am considered overweight, but I'm at the Olympics and you're not.
Hell yeah.
Because that's so true. Like, bodies are going to be different. They're going to be different sizes. They're going to be different shapes. They're going to be all the differences. And they can be incredibly healthy and vibrant and all the things. Well, speaking of all the things, we got to talk about Patreoners. So thank you so much, Ann B. from California.
Trezita S. from Ireland.
Molly Ann N. from Texas.
And Tony I. from Montana.
Thank y'all so much for joining Patreon. Y'all are getting all the things with all the backlog, with an extra freaking episode a week. So if y'all want all this shit that they're getting, head on over to patreon.com/theAPC podcast. What do you think I got you for your birthday?
I thought you were paying for my safari.
Okay, what do you think I got you for your birthday? I got you a gift, duh.
Oh, ooh. Ooh, the nail thing? Oh.
Y'all, I just got this nail thing. Well, I just ordered it.
We are terrible at like... Please sponsor us. That nail thing.
Yeah. No, it's called Ahura. And when my friend Kim at work said, it's called Ahura. And I said, you're Ahura. Anyway, it's like this is totally not a sponsor by any means. I literally just ordered it on Amazon. I think they sell it at Target too. But anyway, it's like these sheets of nail polish that's like stickers that you put on trim and then you put it under the light and it cures them. And so I'm trying them. So we'll see. You'll have to try them when I get mine.
Yeah, they look good.
And God, your hands were soft. She just looked at my hands and Jesus Christ, give me your hand again. What in the baby's butt? Why are they so soft?
Because I lotion.
Oh, what's that? I literally feel this.
Feel it hard?
Sometimes it cuts my lip.
Which lip?
Oh, well, that's for me to know and you to never find out. Just kidding.
Girl, I bet you haven't done that in a long time since Colby's here. And we know when she's really in a need, she can just get on the bidet.
You're not wrong.
I press out a turd. You push out an orgasm.
A lot of things happening on the toilet. But anyway, they're supposed to last like 2 weeks. I did it yesterday at lunch.
What we were talking about.
I did it the other day at lunch because on a spur of the moment, I had gone and got my nails and like a manicure and a pedicure. And it was time to come off. And so my hyperfixation, I peeled all the gel polish off my nails.
Yeah.
And then they were really, really bad, but they were too long. And so I was going to try this. It was the whole thing. I was like, this is my ADHD at its finest. Yes. Like literally messaged one of my friends who was on lunch and had gone home. I was like, do you have fingernail polish remover? And she was like, yes. I was like, can you bring it so I could do one with my lunch? Because I had put clear polish on to try to harden them up. Lord. But now they're short again and they're coral. And I like them.
I like them. Wait, so you got me a gift?
Way to bring it back to you. No, just kidding. Yeah, I did.
Is it Colby coming over to fix my toilet?
Oh my God, this girl with toilets today.
I can't help it. Oh, when you're smiling like that, I want to know what it is. I have no idea because I like so many things.
You do. You are very easy to shop for. I actually got you two things.
What the hell?
Technically three.
What the hell? Wait, are you going to make the cupcakes?
You haven't sent me a recipe.
I know I haven't. Ma'am, I know. I mean, there's got to be some kind of thing, right?
Well, because this girl wants a boxed strawberry cake every year for her birthday. The chemicaliest strawberry cake with the worst strawberry icing out of the jar. And she wants no different. Like, 1 year I was like, do you want me to put some real strawberries? No. Like,
no.
Don't ruin my boxed cake. Well, this year she's trying to, you know, stay within her stuff. And so she's like, I need to find another recipe for you to make because it's got to be her. Because if I find it, she's going to say no. So it's got to be her that finds it. So I'm like, how am I going to make a cake if I don't know what to make?
I know. If y'all have any low calorie.
None of this is coming out.
Oh, this will be after. Well.
Well, it will be after, but it'll be like 3 days. I got to have time to do a dang Walmart pickup.
Girl, you got Walmart Plus.
That don't mean I have time to do it in 2 damn days. We got to record both days.
Oh, Lord. Wow. My birthday's so close.
I know.
What do y'all think she got me?
You want to plug your ears and me tell them?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me right now? For real. Can you hear me? Okay. I got her the nail stuff.
Oh, my God. I want to know. That made it even worse. Also, I was doing something weird with my ears to like, if you push them in, you can't really hear, but it's like.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our stories, finally, we got to talk about Lumi. Y'all have heard me rant and rave about how dang hot it is. The only upside of this heat that we're in means it's vacation season. And you know what we always take on our vacations? Our Lumi deodorant. Because look, when you've been in a long car ride, a long plane ride, a long train ride, a long speedboat ride, I don't know, I can't think of another transportation, ferry boat ride, all the things, you've got some sweating, you got some chafing, you got some smelling, and Lumi deodorant is here for you.
Look, now that everyone knows, including Carrie, I have been going to the gym, and you know what I make sure I put on? Lumi deodorant before. And I really can swipe it under my underboobs, my underarms, my inner thighs.
Literally, any crease, crevice, hole, pole you want to put it on. But like, for real, you can put it there.
For external use only, though.
Yeah, of course. Don't like stick it in anywhere, guys. Come on now.
But seriously, I smell like a toasted coconut. Instead of someone having to say, P-U.
They say, hey, you.
But seriously, it does give me more confidence knowing that, like, I can push myself and work harder and I'm not going to stink up the whole place.
Or, like I said before, if you're on vacation, you're traveling. Look, we saw everybody getting stuck in airports for hours upon hours, having layovers and, you know.
Yeah, when the technology was not technology.
Right. And you know what? With Lumi, you get 72 hours of odor protection. So if you get trapped in the layover from hell, you're going to be smelling.
Like heaven.
Exactly. Lumi was created by an OBGYN, and it is a whole body deodorant that will block odor all day for up to 72 hours. And like we said before, it's whole body. You literally can use it everywhere on the outside.
And really, if you think about it, it's more of a pre-odorant. It's going to help stop odor before it starts.
And even better, now Lumi includes sweat control. If you're like me and you've been using Lumi in between the legs and in all the creases to help with odor, now it gives you sweat control. It literally is an all-in-one whole body deodorant.
And with Lumi, you don't have to sweat the small stuff.
Because they've got travel bags, they've got starter packs, they've got everything you would want or need in a deodorant, including amazing smells like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or Donna's favorite,
toasted coconut.
So the starter pack, it comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice. So like you could get a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and of course, free shipping. And let me just say, we have used all of those products from Lumi, and we love them all. And you can get unscented, because I've definitely done that. My stick deodorant is unscented, but in all the like creams and body wash and deodorant wipes, I got all the smells.
And as a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off of your starter pack.
Use the code CREEP for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com.
That's code CREEP, C-R-E-E-P, at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. All right, picture it. Toland, Connecticut, 1720. Way back in the day. We're talking about the oldest house in Toland, known as the Daniel Benton Homestead. It was built in 1720 by, you guessed it, Daniel Benton. He was one of the first settlers there, and he built this homestead on 40 acres. And yes, Carrie, we know your dream.
I wasn't going to say it.
Uh-huh. And the house was quite large, but not like a super mansion style. It had 10 rooms, a huge cellar, and it boasted 5 fireplaces.
Good God.
But we're not just talking about the home itself. It starts with a love story. And we love love, right?
Now I do. I used to hate it.
I've always loved love. Love just doesn't love me.
I've always hated it. It's always made me incredibly uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh. Callie asked me, Callie's one of my BFFs, but also my coworker. And she was like, Donna, do you love Birdie? Like, do you love her? Like, you just, you know, like, you really feel it.
Does Donna love her? She's cuckoo-doodle-doo.
And I said, I do. I was like, the first day I met her, I loved her. Like, and that's not just like a joke. Like, no, I would have fought for her, you know, like I would have done anything. But I told her, I was like, I don't know if I'll love any animal as much as I loved Marley.
No, I agree with that.
And I was like, she was just something for me. Like she, it, you know, so much. And I told her that when me, you and Mama were sitting around the table and we were talking about who I would save if you were drowning. And I was like, Mama, Marley, you. And I said, I mean, one by one, they picked off, like, mm-hmm. You know, and she said, oh, so now you would save her. And I was like, well, before I got Birdie, I would.
This bitch.
Well, Birdie's a nervy girl. Okay. I would try to save both of you.
I don't think you would.
I would try, but I'd be like, Colby.
Donna's on my shit list today, y'all.
Oh, gosh. Look, the thought counts that I would even jump in the water. So again, love story, right? Me and Birdie. No, but this is an actual love story. And one of Daniel Benton's grandsons, Elisha Benton, I thought it was Elijah, but it's Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A. He fell in love with a girl named Jemima Burroughs. Elisha was 28 and Jemima was 16. Now, back in the day, that age difference wasn't no big deal.
Do you live back in the day? Wasn't no big deal? Did we time travel?
What was a big deal was that Elisha came from a prominent family and Jemima was the daughter of a cabinet maker.
Which is a prominent family. Now, do you know how much wood costs?
Are you kidding me?
Like, I would be like, you're an heir to a cabinet fortune?
Also, I'm like, she would be on HGTV.
They literally could build you a house.
Right?
With their hands. Do you know how cheap that would be in this economy?
Oh my gosh. And I know, like, cabinets are fucking expensive.
For real.
It's like, oh, who needs custom? Because I can't do that. IKEA, here I come.
I can't even afford IKEA.
I was going to say, honestly, though, it's like, that's when dirt cheap comes into play. And we're like, please let something have messed up and we can get something good.
I mean, sorry about your natural disaster, but is that our dirt cheap and we can afford it now?
But seriously, I was like, God, times have changed when, you know.
Yes.
Like, but seriously. So she was in a lower class and that was a big no-no. However, they continued to see each other and they were determined to make their relationship work. They wanted to spend the rest of their lives together. Well, then the Revolutionary War came and so all the men had to go fight. It was Elisha and his two brothers who served. Elisha was forced to say goodbye to Jemima, but he promised her he would return and marry her after the war. He told her to hold on to that memory when she was lonely and just know he would always come back for her. Which cue the chick song that you referenced in Sinister Sightings. Mm-hmm. Something about the soldier. It's like the unknown soldier. No, that's not it. It's called Traveling Soldier. Okay, so during the war, the basement of the homestead was turned into a prison for British and German soldiers. Now, this basement had a fireplace. The prisoners were well taken care of. I mean, you know, as well as prisoners can be taken care of. There were a total of 18 people who stayed there until the war ended. But it is odd that the house, like the basement, was used as a prison because unlike the accommodations that the homestead offered, the three Benton boys were captured by the British and they were held in a prison ship in Long Island, the Long Island Sound, to be exact. And it was not nice and cozy with the fireplace. Like, to paint you a picture, they didn't have bathrooms, they didn't have a lot of food, and the food they did have was like moldy bread or half-spoiled pork and half-spoiled pickled beef.
Ew.
There were two things that they had a lot of, though: rats and diseases. And one was smallpox. Now, all three brothers had contracted smallpox, but two died on the ship. However, Elisha was traded for a British soldier, like a prisoner, so he was released. However, he was in terrible condition. And when he finally made it home, the family welcomed him in, but they had to be put under quarantine. Like, no one could come into the house. And even more than that, they had very limited exposure to Elisha. So they had kind of quarantined him to a room kind of off the living room kitchen area. And I think back in the day, they literally had this room like as a sick room. When you were sick, you had to be in there and hope you made it.
I wonder if it's kind of that and like where they would hold wakes and stuff too.
Maybe. So the family really couldn't go near the room he was locked in because they didn't want to contract it. Because really, the only way you knew that you were like immune to it is that you had had it before and survived. And not a lot of people had done that. Well, when Jemima heard that her beloved beau had returned home, she beelined it to the Benton homestead. She had told her parents she was going to see him and she'd be back. Well, when she first got there, the family wouldn't let her in. And some of that was they're in quarantine, but the majority was you're not going to come see my son.
Right.
But she pleaded with them. And then she was like, look, I just want to care for Elisha. Like, I will stay there. I will do anything I can for him. And so, you know, even though this was basically a death sentence for Jemima, the family was like, that means we don't have to do it and we might not get it and die. So come on in, girl. Why didn't you say so?
Right.
And so there she was with her love, taking care of him, trying to hold on to hope that they would both survive this. But obviously she didn't return home that evening. And so her parents came knocking on the door, demanding to know where their daughter was. And so the Benton family told them, and they were like, oh, fuck. Okay. It said that they cried, and then they kind of like said through the door to Jemima, like they were going to come back with some clothes to help her feel comfortable, you know, that she can change into, because who knew how long this would last. And also, like, if he did get better, you don't want to be in like old grimy clothes that was like had all the disease on it. You know what I mean? But the family never returned.
What?
Yeah, her family was like, gonna get you some clothes, peace out, and then like left. Basically, oh was God. Like, well, she's dead to us because she's gonna die anyway.
Wow.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, the people in the A Crime to Remember, their fucking butler brought them PJs that they were staying over in jail.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers are like, we're gonna make you comfortable. Not. And just left. Like, what the hell? Anyway, that I was like aghast about. I literally put, oh, we'll bring you some clothes. Shit. Girl, bye. And after many days and nights, Elisha Benton passed away on January 21st, 1777. But now Jemima did contract smallpox. It was like at the end of it. Like, she had been there and been healthy this whole time. But then, like, in the last 4 days, she had contracted it. I guess because he got so bad.
Yeah.
So she had to continue to be quarantined in that room in their house. However, she didn't have anyone to care for her. You know, they would give her food, some. You know, they limited as much as they could, especially because, hello, like, she's nothing to them.
Right.
She's below nothing. Cue the My Best Friend's Wedding when she's saying, like, he's a pond scum that the blah, blah, blah feeds on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That wasn't for My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes, it is.
I thought you were talking about on Grease when he's like, he's an amoeba on fleas on rats. He's so low, even a dog can't bite.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good one. But no, this is in the train station and he's like, go lower. And she's like, okay, I'm the blah, 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 blah that feeds on blah, 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 blah. Do you not remember that?
I've seen that movie one time.
What?
I know. I didn't love it.
Oh, my God. And my heart aches.
I love Julia Roberts, but I just could not get down with that movie.
Well, it's really bad. Like, why would you try to break these people up? But also, I'm like, oh, God, it's so good. Anyway, that's just what I pictured is like, they couldn't care less about her. And so sadly, Jemima's last days were filled with agony and loneliness. She prayed for her death to come quickly, not only to end her suffering, but she could be reunited with her love, hopefully. Now, Jemima passed away February 28th of the same year. So, I mean, she was like a month in there by herself.
That's so long.
And because they were not married, they couldn't be buried together or like beside each other. I don't mean like they opened his casket up and like threw her in there, but like beside each other. So the families compromised and they buried them on opposite sides of the carriage drive. So they're about 40 feet apart. And it just makes me sad that even in death, like they couldn't be together easily.
Right.
Now, the Benton homestead remained in the family until 1932, so six generations had lived in that house. And then it was sold to a person who worked for the University of Connecticut and then changed hands a few times until it ended up being donated to the Historical Society in 1969 by one of the owners, William Shockett, and it's a museum that you can still visit today. Now, onto the hauntings. There are, of course, the normal sounds that go bump in the night. You know, it's usually phantom footsteps or the sounds of like heavy footsteps marching. There's sounds of things moving like furniture, but when you go to look around, nothing's out of place. And there's also been disembodied voices and whispers heard multiple times all throughout the house. Lights have been known to go on and off by themselves. Now, normally I'd be like, oh shit. But then they were like, especially in thunderstorms and bad weather. And I'm like, well, that could just be because of the weather.
Right. Yeah, mine do that too in the bad weather.
Right. And I'm like, oh God, every time like it kind of just like dims a little bit. I'm like, no, 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 please don't lose the power. But when it is clear weather, it still happens. The owner who bought the house from the Bentons, they had a maid who witnessed an apparition of a young woman who was wandering through the halls of the house and she was crying. The maid said that she was in white and it was a gown and she was like, it could have been a wedding dress. And so that is thought to be Jemima.
Why would she be in a wedding dress?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know why. I think it was just in a white gown.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and a nightgown would make more sense if she was in a nightgown because she was sick and died.
Right. I think it was just like, it could have been a wedding dress. Oh, and God. Maybe she did have a little Project Runway moment in the afterlife. You don't know.
Okay.
Sheesh. We've seen Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it was red.
Touche. So there was another worker whose dog didn't even want to enter the dining room. And when they picked it up to make it go in, it freaked out. And so they moved it to the foyer, but it didn't move from that spot afterwards. Like, it was just like stuck there. And I'm like, that dog done seen a ghost. There are other apparitions that have been seen, like men in full military dress. And they have been seen outside the home and inside, especially the basement, which makes sense because that's where, you know, the prisoners were held. But also, like, they've seen men outside waiting like they were on guard.
Yeah. Well, and you said, like, I forget how you said it at the beginning of, like, the footsteps. It made me think of the soldiers.
Yeah. Like, the heavy marching.
Yes, that.
Now, before it was turned into a museum, some said, like, it was a bed and breakfast. But this, that I heard this on, said one of the owners had some guests spending the night. And they had all turned in for the night. The owners had went upstairs and the living room was being used as like a makeshift room as well. And the lady was asleep in the living room. Like, she woke up because, you know, she kind of felt something, but she woke up and she saw like a pair of legs that belonged to a man at the end of the couch. And how I'm picturing this is that it's a couch bed because they're both laying down. And she said that she was like just waiting. Like, okay, he's going to try to scare me, her husband, right? Yeah. And she's like, uh-huh. Like, I know. But she was just waiting and nothing ever happened. And right when she had let her guard down, she felt her mouth being covered by a hand.
Oh, fuck that.
And again, she kind of just thought her husband, like, oh my God, he got me. Like, you know, like, I was waiting him out and now he got me. But also, I'm like, what kind of foreplay do y'all have? Like, I mean, but if you're into consensual, non-consensual, sure, hit me up. But, like, not out of a dead sleep.
No. You know how I feel about that.
Right. So she thought it was her husband joking around, you know, but when she noticed, he was asleep beside her.
Yeah.
But that was the only time I've ever heard of anyone putting their hands on anyone here. Now, there was this one time that one of the members of the Historical Society was visiting the house for the first time and like she wanted to go upstairs. So she went, but she said she felt something like a vibration upstairs. It was not like of this world. And so she quickly returned and she was like, I will never go upstairs again. That takes us to Stephanie Spezielli. And she's an eyewitness who experienced things at the homestead. In 1989, she was in college and was given an assignment to go stay overnight at the homestead and write on what happened. And now she was in like journalism and stuff. It wasn't just like, you know, hey, randomly go write on this.
Yeah.
So she, of course, asked one of her friends, Tanya, to stay the night too. Now, earlier that day, they were given a tour of the house, but it didn't include the upstairs, just the downstairs. So when they got there by themselves, they wanted to know what was upstairs. And so pretty soon after, they ventured upstairs because, you know, curiosity killed the cat kind of thing. When they got all the way to the end of the hall where the last room was, they opened the door to check it out. And when they went inside, the room became very, very cold. Would make Carrie very happy.
Especially right now.
Right. She said that there was a definite pressure change that she could feel too. And she started to feel like she was suffocating. Much like Carrie when she's really hot in the kitchen. But when Stephanie stepped out of the room, she immediately felt better. She said that she had never had that kind of sensation before or after. Stephanie also said that they heard men's voices coming from the basement, like they were having a full-on conversation. But when they went to check, because it was like, is that a ghost? And I was like, no, oh my gosh, are we kidding? Like, someone's probably just down there playing a joke, you know, like whatever. But they went and checked, no one was there. And there's no way that they could get in without them seeing them. Now, around 4 a.m., Stephanie and Tanya were sitting there in the sitting room at the table playing hangman and little games like that to pass the time. She said that she had a sudden urge to pick up her head and stop looking at the game, but look through the doorway to the actual room where Elisha and Jemima had passed away. And when she did, she saw something or someone looking back at her. And so she, of course, grabbed her flashlight and sprinted off toward the room, but it disappeared before she reached it and she couldn't find anything or anyone around. Now, one of the workers of the museum said that they had went over to Jemima's grave, and when she went to clean it off, she felt overwhelmed with an incredible sadness. She said that there was like a physical heaviness, you know, that she felt and that she was just filled with sorrow. And she said that she'd never experienced that before or since, but she knows that even though the house is empty, it is still very much alive. And that's what I have about the Daniel Benton homestead, which I think is just a lot of residual energy.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, if you believe in anything to do with ghosts, you kind of have to believe that there's something going on with all of the energy that was just in this house, like with people like from the war and all of that. Like if you have any inkling of, like I said, believing in a ghost, like you 1000% believe this story.
Right. Like this is the oldest home in that town in Connecticut, you know, and then used as a prison for the Revolutionary War.
Right.
Had lots of illness in the house, was in this family for 6 generations. Like that's a lot.
Meanwhile, I wonder if people in the family were pissed at that person who sold it off. Like,
right, yeah.
You kept this house in our family for 6 years and now you're selling
it. 6 years?
6 generations. You get the point. Like 6 generations and now you're selling it. Like, could somebody in the family not buy it from them or would they not sell it? Like, I feel like there's some family drama.
Might be.
And I want to know about it.
But it really does make me sad about Elisha and Jemima.
For sure. I mean, it's the tale as old as time about you have two people from different classes who fall in love, who are kept apart by their family, and she literally takes care of him. She shows him love to the bitter end, and the people, both families, all of that, can't look past that and help her.
Right. And then to, like, let them be buried close to each other, and it's like the compromise. They are fucking buried. Like, she tended to your son.
When you didn't want to. Exactly. Sorry, I totally stole your thunder with
that. It's okay. But also, you read my mind. Oh my God. Great Mom was finishing my sentences and she said, I'm so sorry for doing that. And I was like, no, I'm so used to Carrie doing that. I really think it's a habit of mine. Like, I'll just stop.
Probably.
Mid-sentence to let you finish it. And it's like, huh. But that's why we work.
Yeah, I'm the problem. It's me.
I don't mean it like that, but like.
But like I am. I know my limitations. I just feel like, you know, in movies and stuff, you'll see how the families will keep them apart because of their, like, their class and all of that. And then something like this will happen. One of them will get sick and the other one will just come and take such good care of them and all of that. And they're like, wow, they really do love each other. I'll let them be together. But this obviously is real life and not the movies.
Right.
And that wasn't the case. And it didn't matter what she did for him because they were different classes and you can't cross cultures and classes.
I know. But I was like, she really loved him. Now, I don't know about him loving her like that. I don't know if he would have done that for her, but she loved him.
Yeah.
I want to hope that he would have done that for her.
I think so. I have no evidence to back that up, but I do think so.
Yeah. I feel like he, because it wasn't just like, oh, he got returned home, like ushered in. He had to go different places and like they had to like keep him there for a minute, you know, then like,
yeah,
go back and do all the things. And so it's like, I feel like he held on as long as he could to see her again. To get back to her.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's our Lifetime version of the story.
Right.
I'm sorry, Hallmark.
I do believe that people can hold on because they know something's coming.
Yeah.
Like, I think for sure that your sister held on because she knew we were on our way from Houston.
Yeah.
Because she passed like literally 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours after we got back. So I truly believe that people can hold on when they know someone's coming or something's coming up.
Yeah.
Like, even with Dad with the wedding, it was like, I would try every day to be like, okay, Dad, it's Tuesday. The wedding's Thursday. You know, right now it's Tuesday at whatever time. The wedding is Thursday at 4 p.m. You know, just hold on, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a little bit about family with your story, and my story talks about family too. But this time we're coming way closer into the future. We're starting the story around the year 2000.
Isn't there a song or whatever? It's like, in the year. Okay.
Well, and I think I did that math wrong.
Oh, Lord.
Because there's not much about, like, this part that I'm about to tell you. So probably around, like, 2005, actually.
Now, that's my kind of math.
There was a girl named Amber Gibson. Amber was born, like I said, around 2005. I don't really have a lot of the specifics, but she had an older brother named Connor. Now, in the family, it was the two of them. He was, like, 2 years older than her and their parents. But their dad was very abusive to them and their mother. They were neglected. They were starving. They were living in squalor and literally had to steal for food. So eventually, Amber and Connor ended up in the foster system. Now, this is kind of an aside, but eventually their father, Peter Gibson, went to prison for rape. Also, this all happens in Scotland. I don't think I said that. But their dad was convicted on 10 charges from June of 2001 to February of 2008. And it was not only rape on a adult woman, but on a young boy.
Oh my gosh.
And then there was a lot of violence, including the sexual assault too. So that just kind of gives you an idea of the household that they were brought up in.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of information about this part, but again, we do know that their house was bad enough that they were put into the foster system. Now, they went to live with a great family, the Niven family. And Craig Niven, who was their foster dad, said that when they got to the house, Connor was 5 and Amber was 3. And Connor literally told Amber, "We're safe now."
Oh my gosh.
Now, eventually, as the kids got older, the Niven family was given like a permanent care of them. I don't think they like officially adopted them. I think they just became like the permanent legal guardian. So they weren't still in the foster system, if that makes any sense. I don't know. It may be different in Scotland, but that's how I understand it. There were some issues. I mean, these are kids that have a truckload of childhood trauma. I mean, they have had to literally steal food and all the things, you know, grew up seeking love, seeking just basic human support of food, water, shelter, safe shelter, all the things. So again, you can imagine the issues that come with that. But Craig Niven said that like Connor and Amber weren't a good mix. So he didn't really let them stay alone together, which is like a huge red flag for me.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of detail of what that means. Like what, because that's like a quote, like not a good mix is how he described them. And there's not a lot of background as to, well, what does that truly mean that they weren't a good mix? Like, did they fight? Like, what about them weren't a good mix?
Yeah, because my brain went straight to like sexual right. assault.
Right. Because why are you not leaving them alone?
Yeah.
Well, to make your eyebrow rise even higher, whatever. Mm-hmm. When Amber was just 14, all the stuff says the foster care arrangement broke down, is what kind of how like a lot of the articles describe it. Of course, again, this is articles like BBC and from other places that just sound smarter than I do.
Yeah.
Basically, everything fell apart for reasons unknown. And Amber went to this place called the Hill House Children's Unit. But Connor stayed with the Niven family. And he stayed with them until his 18th birthday.
Really?
So, again, it's like, why were they not good together? And, you know, when you're in a toxic situation, you have the person that's toxic and gaslighting and narcissist and all that. But then, you know, you who have lived through that for years and years become toxic too, because it's the only way that you can deal with that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe something of that sort had happened. Again, I literally have, this is purely conjecture.
Which we're good at.
Making things up, making yes. storylines up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hence your story we made into a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
So again, I don't know who was quote at fault, but it's weird that she moved out and he stayed. It seemed like Amber was doing pretty well under the care of social services, like in this girl's home, for lack of a better word. But in June of 2021, when Amber was just 16, she was raped by a man named Jamie Starrs.
Oh my gosh.
So he was 20 and actually on bail for another sexual assault.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes. No, I'm not kidding you. Yes, that's actually what happened.
Wow.
Basically, Amber was intoxicated and was unable to give consent, and he raped her. He does eventually go to prison for that, though.
Hopefully he doesn't get out on bail and do it again.
Through all of this, though, her brother was there in her life. They had their ups and downs, clearly, but he was part of her life.
God, just all of that like emotional trauma and struggle and all of that, it makes me so tired to think about like their daily life.
I know. Well, and again, that it started from such a young age, and it was like it continued even when she was in a safe place.
Yeah.
Something still happened.
Yeah.
And then to the point where she left safe place and went to a home where she was still not safe when she was outside of that home.
Yeah.
So eventually, Connor ages out and goes to live at a place called Hamilton's Blue Triangle Project. And it's like a hostel for younger people who are homeless. Like, because, you know, that's a big part of the foster care system is when they age out, what happens? Do these kids have the tools for life that they need? Because we know what the foster care system can be.
Right. Also, though, that name is very weird.
Hamilton's Blue Triangle Project?
Yeah, me, like, what?
I feel like it's probably got a story behind
it. Yeah, I'm sure, but that just sounds like a government cover-up.
So one day, Connor calls the Hill House to speak to, not to be confused with the Scary Show, to speak to Amber, because he's like, hey, I want to hang out. We hadn't seen each other in a while. Like, let's hang out. The manager of the house was like, hey, Amber, are you sure you want to go hang out with him? And so again, red flag over red flag over red flag, insert the guy with tit from TikTok with a big red flag. Why are these people, like, what has happened?
Yeah, but, and I don't understand how he stayed at the foster home if he is, quote, the problem. Like,
right,
the,
yeah, I don't.
The aggressor or whatever. Yes,
there are so, so many holes to this story. And not necessarily holes, just pieces of information we don't have. And should we necessarily be privy to them? Probably not. But the story's out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Amber decided to do it. She went and met her brother at a place called Hamilton Town Center. This was on November 26th of 2021.
Now, if it was Hamilton Square, that would make sense for the blue triangle.
The two hang out. Amber even takes a picture on Snapchat and sends it to all of her friends. And she writes, "My big bro," on it. And it seems like they're just hanging out like a brother and sister would. But about 90 minutes later, Connor shows back up and he's alone. Like, he shows back up at his place and now he's alone.
What?
He is a little like disheveled, and the people where he's staying are like, "Bro, what's up?" And he's like, "My sister and I got in a fight. You know, I'm just worried about her." He calls the Hill House to just like check on her and tells the person that answers the phone, like, "Yeah, we got in an argument. Like, I just want to check in on her just to see how she's doing." And they're like, "Well, she's not home." So it doesn't take long before the staff at the Hill House are like, "Wait, like, Amber's not home." And they report her missing. Unfortunately, 2 days later, Amber's body was found in Cadzo Glen. She was naked, and like, you could tell that her underwear and stuff had been like ripped off. Ugh. There was blunt force trauma to her head, and she had been strangled. She was kind of like in some brush. That's why it took a couple of days, because this is like a, from what I understand, like a park type thing.
Yeah.
And so it took a couple of days for her body to be found because she was kind of pushed in this brush. After Amber's body is found and Connor finds out, he posts on his social media about Amber. And I do want to say before I read this thing that he posts on social media, that the name that he calls her is pretty derogatory, but it's what he said, so I'm just going to read the quote. "Amber, you will fly high for the rest of the time. We'll miss you, especially me. I love you, Ginger Midget. Goodbye for now, X." But the police start looking at Connor pretty fucking quickly because, well, he was the last one to see her.
And disheveled.
Yes.
They have a history.
Right. And it's 2021. There's lots of CCTV footage.
Oh.
And there's lots of DNA.
Oh, God.
So, like I said, Connor had come back to his housing project and, again, was described as very disheveled and said that he and Amber had gotten in an argument. Well, they find footage of him, like, literally, like, bending over, catching his breath, like, looks exhausted. And then they find CCTV footage of him walking out to some trash cans carrying something.
Oh my gosh.
And they ended up being the clothes that he had been wearing that night. And so luckily, basically the trash hadn't run. And so the police found them, and it was bloodstained shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh my gosh. One though, how did he get back home? Like, what did he wear?
I don't know. I don't think that there was a lot of blood because she had the blunt force trauma, but like, I think her nose was broken and stuff. So she was strangled. Like, it wasn't like a stab. You know,
no,
there wasn't.
I'm saying the shorts and shirt. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That wasn't clear. He went back to his house and changed and threw it away there.
Okay. Cause I'm like, wait, how did he like just go in and be like,
yeah,
oh, we just had an argument, but he's like in his underoos and an undershirt.
No, I think too, like, I'm not really sure where this CCTV footage was from with him going back and forth to the trash can or the wheelie bins, as everything said over there, which I freaking love. I think that it was at that house, but because this is a house for people who are homeless and stuff, I'm sure that they have some good security systems. And so I think it was from out there. So what I'm picturing is he went in, changed clothes, came back and tried to take him out to the wheelie bins. But of course, forensics were able to prove that the blood on his jacket was Amber's and his DNA was found on her shorts.
Oh, God.
So he had sexually assaulted his sister.
Disgusting.
And everything says with the intent of raping her. So I don't know what happened there. Like, I don't know if he was almost caught. I don't know if he physically was unable to go through it, which is gross, but he sexually assaulted with the intent of raping her, and then the blunt force trauma, and then he strangled his sister.
I really hope he didn't get to rape her because she fought back so much.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? She stopped him.
So the police do arrest Connor. But that's not where this story stops.
What?
Because even in death, Amber continued to be abused by men.
No.
45-year-old Stephen Corrigan was the person who found her body. But he's not the person who reported finding her body.
Wait, what?
His DNA was found on 39 different locations on her body because he had assaulted her body when he found her. And
what the fuck?
And he's the one that had pulled her into the brush to hide her because he didn't want to be linked to her murder.
Oh my God. Despicable.
Yeah, this is fucking awful.
That is disgusting.
So he was arrested as well. Now, I will say that both of them pleaded not guilty. And Stephen Corrigan's family was like, wait, no, he was home all weekend because he had like fallen ice skating and hurt his arm. He was home. But like, he slips out at night, like you're asleep and he leaves. Like,
and his arm is hurt. He's got another arm.
Right. And he's actually fine. Like he's not, you know.
Yeah. And also his DNA is all over her.
Right.
Okay. Like, and we know what kind of DNA.
Right. And, you know, he kept saying like he was at a loss as to why his DNA was all over her body. But.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
Yes.
Like, how can you plead not guilty for that? Like, how can you plead that?
Honestly.
Like, she was murdered. You found her body, and instead of being like, holy fuck, I've got to report this, it's like, but first.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I can't wrap my brain around that, like, wanting to do that to a dead body. But, like, the fact that Amber had been so used and abused by men her entire life, had been raped and sexually assaulted so many times to her in her life. And when she's finally free and at peace, we hope, she's not. Her right. fucking body was desecrated and her body was still raped by a man.
Like, that makes me, like, tear up.
I know.
Like, that's so fucking sad.
I know. Well, I will say this is such a short story, y'all, but I felt like it had to be told.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I do want to say Colby actually found this one on TikTok, and it was by the TikToker Life and Sinister Crime. And then a lot of the stuff came from like the Independent and the BBC, a lot of the, what's it called? Sources and stuff.
References.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of information. Like there's a lot of articles that all kind of say the same thing. So that's why I say there's not a lot on like the background, but the judge in these cases was wearing the best judge wig and was not giving any fucks about these two perpetrators.
Good.
So this website called Judiciary, like .Scotland, had the quotes of the judge. I just wanted to read you a little bit of them. So when he was sentencing Connor, he was like, he said, Connor, you've been convicted of the physical and sexual assault and murder of your younger sister. Oh, also, some stuff said Amber and Connor Niven. Like, some stuff used that name, but most of the stuff said Gibson.
Yeah.
So, I don't know which one was her legal name. But he goes on to say, like, you didn't have the best start in life. And he said the same thing. Like, she had to deal with being raped. And she looked to you. As a brother, she looked to you for support. And, like, she was looking forward to meeting with you. She even said it, you know, like, literally just the whole thing of the case. And he's like, what you did was truly evil. And you then tried to cover your tracks. You lied to the staff of both children's homes. You lied to police. You tried to dispose of the bloody clothing. And basically, the CCTV and the forensics exposed your ass. You know, that's not a direct quote, but you get it. He said that in his sentencing, he was taking into account his age and background and everything that he had, like, been through.
He was an adult.
I know. But the circumstances of your case are appalling, is what he said. So he sentenced him to life in prison.
Okay.
Now, he says the law requires him to basically say when he will be allowed parole. And so he has to be in prison for 22 years before he's eligible to get out.
Okay.
Now to old fucking Stephen Corrigan.
Oh my God.
He said, Stephen Corrigan, any decent human being on coming across the naked body of a young girl who was unconscious or possibly dead would immediately call the emergency services.
Yes.
You, on the other hand, did not do so. Instead, you touched her sexually on her, and he names all the places. I'm not doing that.
Oh, God.
And then moved her, you know, to the bushes. But I like this part. Again, forensic science gave a voice to Amber. Your DNA was found all over her naked body from head to toe, back and front. It says, like, in quantities greater than her own.
Wow.
Your despicable conduct in concealing her body under the brushes and branches delayed the discovery of her body and had the potential to alter and destroy evidence. Sentencing him, take into account everything, blah, blah, blah. Sentenced him to 9 years in prison for that. How you feel about that?
Not happy, because she was fucking dead. But had she not been, she would have been passed out. How many other people has he done this to?
That's true.
Like, I don't know. Like, he legit took advantage of this situation and then lied about it. Didn't take accountability at all for it.
Well, I wonder.
I'm just glad he got jail time.
Yes. I feel like it's a decent sentence. Like, I feel like that's something that could have gotten, like, 18 months or, you know, something like that. I feel like that's a pretty hefty sentence for, not for what he did, but you see people getting a lot less sentenced for rape.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I feel like it was a good sentence.
Right. I think it is. I mean, I obviously want more, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you can't give him life for that. I mean, that's not...
Exactly.
Conversely, though, like, what if she hadn't been dead? And him not calling for emergency services, she did die.
Wow.
Like, is he, which I don't think that's the case, but like, would he then be culpable for the death, or could they both be charged?
I think they would both be charged, because I think people who have been around someone who has been murdered and they haven't helped has been charged like that before. I just, like, one, her brother, disgusting. Then Steven? Even more disgusting.
Like, I don't know. Her brother assaulting her, a brother sexually assaulting a sister, is disgusting.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like so gross. You're literally comparing evil to evil. Like,
I know.
You're like, which one's more evil? It's an impossible conundrum.
Right.
I don't even know if that's the right word. But it's like, you can't. They're both so disgusting, because it's like when you're like, yeah, she was dead and he did, but brother. And then it's like, but then she was, he, you know, it's like you could tit for tat. How disgusting.
Right.
But the fact that, again, her brother, like the judge said, should have been her safe place. And it seems like was when they were very young, like he was that. I mean, he had to have helped her get food and all of that. If he's 5 and she's 3, she's not going to know how to steal food.
Right.
But something happened. There was some sort of switch while they were in foster care, and maybe even before. I don't know. And I don't know, but God. But also, like, Stephen, like, where do you go when you get out of prison? Like, everybody in your town knows what you did. How do you get a job? Like, what type of job do you get where it's like, fill out an application. Do you have a felony? Yes. And then they're like, what's this felony for?
Yeah, like desecrating a corpse and
yeah, like that's like, assault. Are you fucking kidding?
In my head, it doesn't make it any better. But I guess why I'm like, her brother, terrible. And then Steven's worse. It's because I feel like they grew up in God knows what. Mm-hmm. And so if he did see her get sexually assaulted and or he was forced to do it or whatever, like that was a norm there. And so, like, that's what he was used to. Not saying that's right or anything, because, oh my God, no.
Yeah.
But it's like, Stephen, it was just this random body, like this random person. And he took it upon himself to do whatever the fuck he wanted to do.
Like, truly, what are the odds that someone like Stephen would just stumble upon a body in a fucking park?
Right. God, that just, like, turned my stomach. Like, honestly, I thought you were going to say because you've covered this before once, like not this, obviously, but when someone who worked at like the funeral home
yes.
had done something. So I was like, oh God, is that no.
Yeah.
Like just a random guy. I'm just walking along the street. Oh, okay. Like what?
I can't. How is pure panic not your go-to when you find a dead body? Like my first thing would be like, holy fuck. Like drop my phone because I'm trying to fiddle it out so fast to try to call the fucking emergency.
Right. Oh, God. Now I got that damn TikTok song in my head.
Paging Dr. Beat. Emergency, emergency. But seriously, how is that not your immediate response instead of fucking like self-gratification?
Right.
Even if your natural instinct is to even avoid of like, I don't want to get involved. I don't report this. I don't want to be questioned. I'm just going to walk around it. Like that's terrible. But I can wrap my head around that. I can wrap my head around of you see something, you mind your business.
Right.
You know, you live certain places. You got to be able to mind your business because that's what's going to keep you alive. So that I can get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love it, but I can get it. This, I can't.
Like, I want to know, did he think she was passed out or did he know she was dead?
I feel like he had to have known she was dead because I don't know the time frame here, but this was late at night. Like, also, what was he doing out?
Right.
Your family thinks that you're in home with them. Like, what are you doing out and about? Are right. you looking to get in trouble? Like, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Because it's not in me to just like see something and be like, oh, I want to do this. Like, how yeah. do you get aroused at that point of just a random happenstance of,
I don't know.
I don't know. But that's appalling. This whole story is appalling. Their life, her death, after her death.
I know.
I'm just glad they both got jail time mm-hmm. and like were punished and now we know their names and what they've done. And we know her name.
Yeah, I don't know that the brother will ever get out.
I don't want him to.
I don't think he's capable of change. Like, I don't, no. when you've done something like that, I don't think that you're capable of change.
How can anyone trust you when you do that to your own family? And again, not just like, oh, you know, like they were together, like from trauma and from all of this.
He's the only person on the planet that understood what she had been through.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Right. And even though I can't, like me, someone who has not had that trauma, cannot wrap my head around being like, if they were so toxic together or whatever had yeah. happened and they had to be separated all these times and stuff, like, why would you keep going? But also, he was her person.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, he might not do what he has done before.
Right. Well, because again, they have a trauma bond. They have a bond that like literally nobody else can understand.
Right.
And ultimately that is her brother. And so, I mean, it's hard to cut people off from your life.
Oh God,
and,
yeah.
I mean, when you have no one, I mean, she had her foster parents and she had him. I mean, she had friends, obviously.
Yeah.
She, you know, she was like, on, you know, all that. But I'm saying like, that's your family. So yeah. she's going to do everything she can. I mean, she was so excited to see him, but yeah. there was clearly something if even the people from the home were like, oh, I don't know if it's a good idea.
Yeah. God.
And was this premeditated if he had tried to like how often had they seen each other? You know, was this like a unusual thing that they were hanging out late this night? And, you know, like, was it, did he really just call her up to hang out and then shit went down and he tried to assault her and, you know, she fought back and he killed her? Or did he have this plan the whole time?
Ugh.
And then the posting online of like,
oh my God,
fly high, you know, fuck you.
Fuck you. Also, like him covering his tracks, calling to be like, hey, has she made it home? Because yeah. we did get in a fight.
Yeah, that's pretty diabolical.
Yes. If you're capable of that shit, like, I do not trust you. Like, because for you to, like, just, what is it? Bald face or bold face lie? Bold face?
I think it's bald face lie. Bald face.
Oh, it is. Okay. That didn't make sense to me. Is it when people with facial hair shaved and then they lied?
Donna. I think it had something to do with like having a beard and not having a beard.
Oh, so it is facial hair.
Yeah, it really is.
The beard can keep the secrets.
Okay, it says, according to Merriam-Webster, it says both bold face and bald face are used, but bald face is the preferred term. But barefaced is the oldest and still in use, but it's the least common.
Oh.
So it's bald face.
No idea. Well, anyway, when you can do that about your family that you have murdered and stuff, like, God.
Yeah, so, like, thanks, Kolbs, but also, what the hell?
Right.
But really, truly, you know, this was something that happened not too long ago, but I'm so glad that we're able to tell Amber's story so that she's never forgotten.
Yeah. Wow. I wish you would have went first because, God, that one, like, just left me sad, like my stomach hurts, and very mad.
Yeah.
And I just want to know why. Like, why did this happen? You know, and we're never going to know.
No, we're not. Thank y'all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.